It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for Ask Bob and Andy, which is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. Some exciting news from those guys. They're going to be opening a retail outlet in State College at the Nittany Mall. It will be called the Tailgate Corner and will be located inside the Emporium in the mall. A lot of great barbecue sauces and rubs, not just from 409, but from around the country. Also some great tailgate games and gift ideas. And it is now official, not a rumor anymore. They are going to be doing some great free tastings Friday nights prior to the home games. You want to check that out. And those free tastings includes the 409 tailgate wine. Not a bad deal. Ready for some questions, guys?
Andy, you're leading us off.
All right, I'll take the first one. I'm ready.
Well, the first one, actually, not a question, but I do want to get it out there. One of our loyal listeners, Mike, sent something in. He's dealing with some health issues. Hopefully, Mike, you'll be getting back to health real soon, but and I quote him, "I want to let you guys know how much I appreciate Keystone Sports Network and everything you do. It keeps me connected to Penn State football. Continued success, and thanks again for providing a diehard PSU fan his weekly fix of Penn State football. And also, the Adam Brenneman show sounds awesome." So thank you, Mike. And
nice to hear from him. Hopefully everything goes well. It's yep. For Mike.
I hope so also. Get well soon, Mike. All right, now let's get to our questions. Let's start with David from Lakewood Ranch in Florida. Always got to say this, his email address, he's Beach Wine Guy. Don't you love that? All right. Here's what David had to say. Ross, there are rumors that Fox may change the start time of the Michigan game for a whiteout to a noon kickoff, with the night atmosphere providing a perceived advantage. Do you think Sandy Barber should put her foot down and say, "Not so fast, my friend"? Thanks and keep up the great work.
There is a slight advantage to the night game versus a day game, but I think the whiteout itself is big enough that noon doesn't make that much of a difference, in my opinion. I think the night, I really don't see it as that big of a difference.
I think it should be called, first of all, I think it should be called a night out. I mean, I think there's a big difference.
The white night, white out.
If TV wants the game at 9 o'clock in the morning for what they're paying, I think they're gonna get their way. You're not gonna dissuade them.
So are you saying if TV didn't want the Michigan Ohio State game at noon the last week of the season, that would happen? No way. You know Michigan and Ohio State get their way. Why can Penn State not get their way?
I'm not so sure that TV is unhappy about that.
Well, but it should be a night out. Let's just say it's the whiteout. It should be at night. I think it's a distinct advantage.
Disagree.
We've disagreed a few times here, Andrew. All
scrapping
right.
Today.
Well, Ross isn't here. Someone's got to do the scrapping.
That's right.
All right. Next up is Matt from Undle, United Kingdom.
Oh.
Dear Ross, or wow. Bob, Andy, Jim, Labatt Blue guy, if Ross is on vacation again. Matt has a sense of humor. I like that.
I like that.
I regularly see incoming freshman players who turn down Ivy League scholarship offers to walk on at Penn State. Do you think, in Ross's experience talking to high school recruits, but we'll ask you guys, what factors weigh most heavily in these decisions? Is it primarily a path to the NFL motivation? And Matt has a PS. Please don't automatically disqualify me for living in the UK. I have an Armed Forces PO box, so shipping is not an international rate. So that's what Matt's going after.
That's good that they clarified that. I think Ross is on record. I think that if I had a chance to go to an Ivy League school, I probably would. I understand the draw of maybe being a part of the Penn State football program, but I don't know that I would pass on an Ivy League education. For those guys that decide to do that, obviously the chance to play at Penn State must mean a lot. And there is always a chance that some of these walk-ons have a chance to actually play late in their career. But if it was me, I think I would go the Ivy League route.
So I think it when you're talking about being a walk-on, a preferred walk-on, as opposed to playing in the Ivy League, it's what the expectation you have for yourself is and sort of what the expectation of your high school career has created for you. In other words, like he's a potential Division I player or he's an FCS player or whatever, and you think that you are, then that's one avenue that you're going to walk on at Penn State and take your shot, right? If you're looking at it from where's the opportunity for me to play, and I'm talking about this strictly from a football perspective, not academic, where's the best opportunity for me to play, then you have to look at it. Do I have a better chance of playing at, say, at Princeton or Penn than I do at Penn State or Maryland? Where's the best opportunity for me to play? And that's hard for a 16 or 17-year-old or even 18-year-old to look at objectively. So someone needs to get in his ear, but I think it's all about opportunity to play. But the third caveat is if there's some kid who grew up a huge Penn State fan and is just on the fringe and always wanted to play and wear the Penn State uniform and run out of the tunnel, then you go to Penn State.
A Penn State degree is nothing to sneeze at either.
It is not.
And the network you can establish that is also very helpful.
That's exactly right. Also, Bob, there's something to having the Ivy League education and saying you have it, but the Penn State education degree and also saying I was a football player at Penn State, that opens a lot of doors.
I mean,
and
also,
for you.
If you want to be smart about it, you get a degree at Penn State in 3 years and you can transfer. And if you want to do both, you want to play somewhere else, you can do that as well.
Opportunity to play is always important.
All right. Next up, another Matt, this one from Williamsport. With the hype surrounding the speed and talent level of the defensive line, could you see Sean Spencer and Brett Pry implementing a NASCAR package with four defensive ends to rush the quarterback, having Mato, Simmons, Tony, and Owe rush in third and long situations could be game-changing?
Absolutely. They did it with Etor last year. They've done it actually in the past with Ryan Buchholz before he had to retire. I don't know about four DNs, but I think three in Windsor. and they do also have the penny package with just three linemen. But you absolutely want to have, when it's third and 15, there's really no point in having Robert Windsor and Antonio Shelton or
none
PJ Mustafa on the field. I mean, you want to get into the extra DB look with Micah and Cam Brown. And I think Shaka Toney is sitting on a very big year. I think that when we go to some bold predictions a little bit later this month, he's going to be one of them for me.
Ooh. So here's the thing is, if you're Sean Spencer and Brent Pry, the defensive coordinator, you got the dudes to do it. It's not like you have to stretch to make this work. Right. You don't have to stretch at all to make something like this work. You shift, you move Etor inside, and you put Owe on one side and Shaka Toney the other, and say, "All right, boys, go get them." That's an easy solution for them. It's not hard. You don't have to make something up, and you don't have to stretch at all. Lucky them.
You got to have the size, though, to play inside. Etor does.
He does.
I don't know that any of the other ends would really relish the opportunity to get knocked around by some 300-pound offensive guards.
All right. You are listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club, where great barbecue meets great wine. All right, let's go with Kyle from Dover says, I think having Ohio State and Michigan State in back-to-back games has hurt Penn State the last 2 years. I agree. Mm-hmm. Looking at this year's schedule, Iowa, Michigan, and Michigan State in three straight weeks, this stretch is going to be a huge hurdle. Is there anything extra that the coaching staff can do to prepare the team both physically and mentally for three straight big-time games?
Well, the thing that Penn State has this year that in their corner is they're deeper. And I think that is – that is that every team usually has a two or three game stretch that really defines their season. That's probably going to be it for Penn State this year. I think there's a bye week in there, and then they also have to play at Minnesota. It's actually kind of a tough, I think, four game stretch, deceptively tough. But yeah, there's no getting around it. What Penn State has to do is they have to find a way to get a lead in one of those games, get a big lead,
and hold it, but maybe.
If not every game has to be a nail biter, but if the first two are really close, you're going to see that show up in that third game, and Penn State's going to be, and that's why it's impossible, really, especially in the Big Ten, to get to 10 or 11 wins when the schedule is stacked against you, and that's why Ohio State, has been kind of embarrassed or nearly embarrassed the last 2 years. They almost lost at Maryland. They got stomped, just stomped by Iowa. It's just
throttled
tough to
by Purdue last
tough
year.
Tough to do. Purdue got them.
Yeah, it's tough to do for 3 weeks.
That is a daunting stretch, though. He's right.
Yeah, it is outperforming yourself in one game and getting where you can make it a comfortable win. But in Penn State's case, when it had the, you know, one point losses to Ohio State, Michigan State coming up next, and just not being themselves and completely in those games, it has an impact.
After those big games, by the way, and I blame the Big Ten for this, both Penn State and Ohio State have lost games after playing each other, and they had tough games scheduled on the road. The Big Ten could do something about that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go with Chris from Belfont. James Franklin, obviously, and he has obviously in caps.
There it is.
Made an incredible decision when he hired Joe Moorhead and told him he was the head coach of the offense. The impact was immense. This past off season, CEO Franklin hired Joe Lurig to be head coach of special teams. Will the addition of Joe Lowe?
Okay.
Oh, not bad.
Yeah. And an increased emphasis on special teams, one example being the addition of Jordan Stout, be the thing that gets this program from great to elite. So obviously he was blaming special teams for that issue.
I think they should be one of the very best special teams in the country. And I think it's because of Blake Gillikin and the Stout kid. This Jake Pinniger might have difficulty holding on to his field goal kicking job. I just think that he needs to get better at that. He was 16 for 24. They had a kickoff contest yesterday in practice, and Stout boomed another one. That his teammates already love him because they know the kick. No one's returning any kickoffs, and they do. They're stupid.
Was he kicking to the sideline or kicking through the end zone?
He kicked it deep, and Pinniger kicked it out of bounds. So I'm telling you, this kid's a weapon. The team already knows it. And I think Blake Gillikin has another gear in him as well. I think they should absolutely, if they can find a place kicker, they're going to be an elite special teams unit.
Kicking game matters, but I also think kick coverage, the improvement of the kick coverage unit, both punting and kickoffs, is where Joe Lowe will make the biggest impact in his first year as the coordinator.
I'm going to go with some good questions this week. We got to a lot of them. I think Kyle from Delaware talking about the schedule potentially biting Penn State in the backside, even though they're talented, is something to look at and just to see kind of how that plays out. I like that question the best. He's only from Delaware. It should be affordable for you, Jimmy.
Okay. All right. That is it for quarter number three of Ask Andy and Bob. Come back for quarter number four. We're going to talk about running backs.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.